You're listening to Wholesaling Inc., episode number 1454.
It's so important when you're in this in-between stage and you're getting started, you got to fill your brain with as much positivity and as much people that are doing more than you as you possibly can.
Because 100%.
If you don't, it's so easy to get down on yourself. I made 1,000 calls in a month. I didn't get any traction or whatever, but it's not about that. It's about putting your best foot forward every day. It's about talking to distressed property owners every day.
That's it.
This is game-changing information guaranteed to raise your real estate wholesaling business with actionable steps you can take immediately to navigate the ins and outs of wholesaling and start making money today. Join us as we put our guests in the hot seat and dive deep to dissect their strategies for success to enable you to duplicate their results. You're listening to Wholesaling Inc., the only show dedicated to making you a fortune in wholesaling.
Welcome, everybody, to the Wholesaling Inc. podcast, America's number one podcast for new real estate investors, where we know that finding discounted properties is the most proven path to financial freedom. I am your host, Brent Daniels, Mr. TTP, and I am telling you, if I can do it, so can you. So let's get started, because this podcast interview is going to be absolutely bananas. Let me tell you this. Let me open with this. Let me tell you some stats here. In his first year, my guest has already done $347,495 in wholesale deals. Not only that, he has 79,000 in pending deals that are going to close before the end of the year. And as an extra bonus, the cherry on top, he's kept two fourplexes he decided he wanted to add to his portfolio and not make the income right now. It is my pleasure to introduce, from San Diego, California, but doing business in Boise, Idaho, Ryan Weimer. How are you, brother?
Thanks for having me, Brent.
Nice to have you on
that
here.
That was quite the introduction. I don't know if I can.
We didn't even tell him the best part. You're part time.
That's true.
You're doing this part time. Isn't that, I mean, guys, listen, if you are not hooked already, this is absolutely bananas. So many people, Ryan, start this business part-time, right? Because they've got other jobs, they've got other responsibilities, they have this passion for real estate, but they've got other things in their schedule.
Yeah.
So you're going to be here to give us the blueprint. You're going to be here to show us what you did, share your story, and really just give not only the hope that people can do this, but show them the path that you followed so that they can also follow it as well. So I'm excited for this.
Hell yeah, me too.
All right. Let's, so how did you find wholesaling?
Oh, gosh. Well, I guess I should start with a little bit about my background and how I got here. So I graduated from a small engineering school, went right into corporate America, worked in oil and gas for a couple of years. The market tanked. They let me go without paying my bonus for the prior year. They didn't pay out my vacation. I felt completely shafted.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, all right, I need a life change. I went out to San Diego, California, just started completely over, no job yet or anything. Took me about 3 or 4 months. I got a pretty good job, or what I thought was, flying around the world as an engineer. It was great. I got to see a bunch of cities around the world and mess around and all that fun stuff. And then 1 year, it was right before Thanksgiving, I was in Taiwan for like 5 weeks, and they were like, hey, the project's not done yet. You can't come home.
What?
And I was like, what do you mean I can't come home? Like, you're going to hold me hostage here?
Yeah.
And they kind of insinuated like, yeah, we need you to stay there. Wink, wink.
Yeah.
So I missed Thanksgiving, and that was like strike one. And I was just like, all right, strike one. And then so.
Yeah, but while listen, most people in your position that have a good job, you're in Taiwan, you're traveling the world, they tell you, you got to stay there. You're like, cool, man, I'm having fun. But you have that, something inside your brain is going, wait a second. Why are people telling me what to do?
Yeah.
I think that's what happens with everybody that listens to this. You had that pilot light inside, that entrepreneur spirit.
Yep.
Right?
And I didn't know it at the time, but looking back, I mean, it's glaringly obvious.
Yeah.
So I'm working really hard in this job, and I'm up for promotion, and I'm already doing that job halfway. And kind of the last straw with it was, they hired another guy, and my manager literally told me, our company is headquartered in Europe. And they said, we think this guy, because of his nationality, he's from the country and he speaks a language, he's going to get along better with the stakeholders at this company. So even though you've been doing the job and you've been killing it, we're going to give it to him because of his nationality. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
Not to be dramatic, but it felt like, it felt on the same level of like racism or sexism. And just, sure. So at that point I just became completely unemployable. That was like the moment. And
that was it.
It was just boom. Like I gotta find something else.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to be in control of my own destiny because I'm sacrificing my life for this company and they don't care about me. I'm just a number.
Right. Sure. Yeah. So then how do you wander down? Like nobody knows about wholesaling.
No.
Like the general population does not know about wholesaling real estate, yeah. Right? A lot of people I was in real estate for like, I don't know, 10 years before I knew what wholesaling was. Like, how did you find it? How did it come into your life?
So I got involved in bigger pockets and I was like, that's how I found real estate.
Yeah.
And I was looking at different markets and Boise, Idaho was checking all the boxes for like population growth, wage growth, job growth, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
My college roommate's from there.
Mm-hmm.
And so we took a trip out there. We interviewed this realtor rock star. His name's Corby Goad with Boise Turnkey. And this guy just was such a go-giver with his time. And he explained everything to us and just took all hours of the day. And I'm sitting there and this is kind of the main message of what I want to share with you on the podcast is I was sitting there thinking this guy's dollar per hour is way over what mine is. How am I going to make up the difference? How am I going to add value to this person to make it worth his while?
Yeah.
And the only thing that was missing from his thing was finding deals.
Right.
And boom, that's when I found Wholesaling Inc.
Now, finding deals in a sense of like off market.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So he was doing listing. He was working with buyers. He was doing that, but he wasn't working, you know, the people that truly are in distress.
Right.
Right. The distressed market.
Yep.
Right. Okay.
Yep. So that's how it got started. And I was literally, this was before I knew about distress lists or anything like that. So I set up a Zillow search for rentals. And I set the criteria so it would only hit on the ones that were under market rent.
Okay.
So that could either indicate, you know, maybe a mom and pop landlord or, you know, it's not fixed up real nice, those kind of things. And every day I'd get an email from Zillow that had like 7 to 10 properties.
Okay.
Here are new ones. I would just look up whatever number was listed on there. Didn't know if it was the owner or whatever. And I would just call him.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't too long before I found a property manager that said, you know what, I've got one for you.
This is beautiful. Let me break this down for everybody because I haven't heard anybody do this. So you set an alert for properties that were coming to rent. So they're vacant.
Yep.
Nobody's in there typically. I mean, sometimes people put them for rent before the tenants are out just to kind of get things lined up. You've got rent and you went under market rent. Why did you do that? I mean, I know why you did that, but explain why you did under market rent. What would that signal to you?
Distress. Any kind of distress. Either it's a tired landlord or they don't have the funds to fix it up themselves.
Right.
Anything like that.
They're not getting full market rent, everybody, because these properties are probably not renovated or maybe they're just totally trashed.
Yep.
Or they just, you know, the landlord wants to get somebody in there, whatever, get it done fast. They're kind of motivated. They don't have the financial means to not just fix it up, but to keep it empty.
Yep.
Right. Because they probably have some debt on it. They probably have, you know, some bills to pay on it, insurance, utilities, all these things that are eating them up.
Yep.
And if they don't have a huge, you know, bank account, then they get nervous and they get stressed and they get anxiety. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
This
is incredible. This is a really good tip.
Yeah. That would be a huge tip is call on property management companies.
Yep.
And say, I buy quite a bit of property in the area and I have a big network. If you ever come across something where somebody wants to sell instead of continue renting, I'm your guy.
Yep.
Give me a call.
Love it.
And they did one day. And instead of that becoming my first wholesale or whatever, I gave it to Corby.
Sure.
And I said, you know, I want you to have this because you've shown me everything and just taken so much time and I bought some rentals with him and everything like that. So
awesome.
So that was just phase one.
Yeah.
And then it just snowballed from there. And then I got,
what gave you that idea, by the way, going on Zillow and putting under market rent?
the podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, just finding lists. And it's so important when you're in this in-between stage and you're getting started, you got to fill your brain with as much positivity and as much people that are doing more than you as you possibly can.
Because 100%.
If you don't, it's so easy to get down on yourself. I made 1,000 calls in a month. I didn't get any traction or whatever. But it's not about that. It's about putting your best foot forward every day. It's about talking to distressed property owners every day.
That's it. Yeah. Quality conversations.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, that is the heart of the business. Remember, everybody listening and watching, this real estate wholesale comes down to three parts. It breaks into three parts. One, lead generation. This is the engine of our business. This is how we find opportunities. Second is conversion, where we're actually getting the contract signed. And third is disposition or exit strategy, where we decide what we want to do with it. But that first part, that first of getting the engine to start rolling down the tracks a little bit, that's where all of that doubt and disappointment and distraction, the 3Ds, start messing with you. And they start trying to, you know, stop that train to start, you know, to get that momentum. And it's all about just listen to make sure that that all goes away. Just take action. Just have those quality conversations with distressed property owners. And if you're proactive, you don't have to have a huge budget, right? You don't have to throw a ton of money at it. You're constantly out there finding opportunities because they're there. There are people that need help.
They are.
Yeah.
And you're your own worst enemy there too. The self-doubt and all that stuff.
Sure.
And really so what nobody likes to talk about too is the deal that got away.
Mm-hmm.
So I had one pretty shortly after that. Distress situation, was going into foreclosure. They wanted 180 and it was almost in turnkey condition and ARV was like 300.
Mm.
So it was really worth 300, over 100K spread.
Yeah.
I had someone go look at it and it was really early on. So it wasn't like an acquisitions person or anything. And I went to dinner and when I came back, they had signed with somebody else in like 2 hours.
Yeah.
And that took a little bit of time to feel sorry for myself.
Well, what'd you learn? What'd you learn?
I mean, I just got to get it done right there. Time kills all deals.
Time kills all deals, brother.
I know.
It does.
Yep. It does.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was completely hooked.
Yep.
That was like the revealing moment that I needed. Like, holy crap, this stuff is real. It made it real for me. It took me missing out on something for me to just go full bore with it. So, then I met Casey Ames in Boise, who's just
great TTP family member.
Yeah. TTP. And he's just such a go-giver, man. He's unbelievable. He's just exploded things for me. So I do mentorship with him and we are really good friends and good and close and everything. So from there, it's just been snowballing.
So how do you go in your first year? You're going to be over 400,000 virtually doing this part time. Okay. Yeah. How do you do this? How do you organize it? How do you get your deal? First of all, how are you getting your deals? How are you doing that first part, building that engine for lead generation?
It's a majority cold calling.
Yep.
I do some texting as well. But with the texting, it's pretty key. Get them on the phone right away.
Yep.
So texting is just to kind of eliminate all the no's, right?
Right.
From there, I mean, starting out, I just have the goal of about 10 to 20 hours a week calling. That's all. That's all. So it would be during.
You were calling?
I was calling.
Yeah.
So it was during my lunch breaks and then it was nights and weekends.
Mm-hmm. And just to kind of give people the job you had, it's not like you're making minimum wage.
No.
You're doing well.
Yeah.
You're doing well. And not only that, but you're still on your lunch breaks making cold calls for wholesale deals.
Yep. And Brent, I know I'm wired a little different, but it's not about the money for me. It's about the time freedom.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
It's about achieving financial freedom. It's about doing something for myself, for my family, for my fiance, who, by the way, I mean, your support system is everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my fiance, Julia, has just been super supportive with all this and me sacrificing a lot of time, quite frankly, especially with how hard this year's been with COVID and everything.
So, sure. So you're doing calls at lunch, you're doing it after work, you're doing weekends.
Yes.
Right?
Yep. Yeah. And then
aren't you exhausted?
You know what? No, because I get the energy that I'm doing it for myself.
Yep.
I'm not doing it for anyone else. It's for myself and my future. And that's like when you do that, it's just a whole nother energy level.
It is. And listen, I talk about it. there is a switch in our brain that either things are going to drain you or it's going to energize you, right? And the thought of, you've got to hallucinate a little bit. You got to look at your future and you got to be like, okay, what does that look like if I do this, right? If I make calls right now, what does this look like 90 days from now, 120 days from now, a year from now? And if you really focus on that, that gives you the energy. That gives you the juice. Wait a second. I can quit my job. Wait a second. I can work for myself. Wait a second. After a few years, I can have my own schedule and do whatever, you know, those are the exciting things. That's the stuff that gives you juice.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. And what's been key is I would write down just goal setting. So daily goals, just writing down, I need to call 2 hours today.
Yep.
And then boom, it would happen.
Yep.
And if I didn't, then it wouldn't be in the forefront of my mind. It wouldn't trigger my subconscious mind that I needed to get it done.
Yeah. So,
as monotonous as it feels, just writing down.
You got your notebook right here.
Look at this chicken scratch.
Yeah.
I know. Unbelievable.
You got your notebook. So you would literally write in something like this, your goals?
Yep. Yep. Yeah. I got all these pages of fun scribble.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's how it would go. And
well, it anchors.
It does.
And listen, what we focus on improves. What we focus on becomes important. You know what I mean? And that whole saying, you know, what you're seeking is seeking you, right? So if you're constantly seeking it every morning and you're putting it and you're being intentional and you're being like literally taking that extra step to write it down, years and years and years and years, I did that. Years and years and years, I'd write, I'm going to make $10,000 today. I'm going to make $10,000 today. I'm going to make $10,000 today. And then boom, 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 boom. It's so ingrained that it just, all of a sudden it starts happening.
Yep. And then it becomes an obsession.
Yeah, it is.
So reading the Gary Keller's The One Thing really helped with that because I was feeling anxiety, like, you know, you don't get a deal for a couple months when you're starting out and everything. And you're like, that's where positive self-talk and filling your mind, like I said before, with positivity is so important.
Sure.
So
what do you do for that?
I mean, I listen to Wholesaling Inc. pretty much daily, Wholesale Hotline, I mean, you name it. So I'm listening to at least one of those podcasts every morning. I like to do it at the gym.
Sure.
Morning's part of my routine. And that just gets me in the right mindset to go crush it.
Yeah. You know? Well, and I think it's the best, you know, when you're exercising and it's in the morning and you're getting up and you're getting going and all of a sudden you're putting good stuff in. I'm telling everybody right now, and this is my first time saying it on the podcast, but I don't think you should look at any news until 5 p.m., right? It's just going to bum you out. There's so much. There's too much. Yeah. So kids, stay off the news. I mean, listen, I get it. You want to be on social media. Good. Just don't do it until, you know, like 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock. Like, get the morning going. Get it with positivity. Fill it in there. You know what I mean? Fill in all that positive stuff, the Audible books, the podcasts, you know, reading, writing down your goals, all these things. It sounds crazy. And, oh, everybody says that. It works.
I know. It does.
It works. It absolutely works. And that's why, you know, I think it's so important to start off the morning really strong, making sure that you're media free for as long as you can. Don't listen to music in your car, you know, listen to great stuff as you're driving around and don't check the news until after 5.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So some tips I want to give your audience.
Yeah.
So this being a COVID year, there's been a lot of migration into quite a few markets, actually.
Yeah.
What we've found. So for calendar year, my average deal size was just short of 17,000.
Okay.
In the last 3 months, it's gone up to 25.
Mm-hmm.
Like 24.
Why do you think that is?
A lot of it's we're locking up deals with longer closes.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone likes to go up after the non-owner occupieds.
Yep.
We, about half our deals come from owner occupieds.
Awesome.
And we approach them and we say, you know, hey, would you like to have a longer close?
Yeah.
What happens is when we're offering a 60 or 90 day close, we get like 3 months of appreciation. And with everyone moving, prices are just going crazy. There's no inventory anywhere.
Well, and that's the thing that a lot of people don't realize or don't take into effect. Everybody goes, well, what are the comps? What are the comps? What are the comps? What are the comps? I always look at the comps to say, okay, what's also the supply and demand?
Exactly.
Who in this, and this is what I do, honestly, what I pull up is I'll look at the zip code, right? And I'll say, what is available this size house, this age house? What's available totally fixed up? What's available not fixed up? What is available?
Yeah.
And I look for that and I go, okay, what's the worst one? Oh, okay, the worst one's at 250,000. So I could probably sell mine for 240,000.
Yeah.
Even though it makes no sense.
Yeah.
Even though the comps, the ARV is like 330 or whatever, and it needs 40K, I'm going to push that value. Mm-hmm. And that's, it sounds like you're doing the same because people need properties.
Yeah.
There's a slowdown in new builds because of all of the different, you know, The whole world's feeling this.
Yep.
So there's a slowdown in getting all the raw material to build new houses. Yep. With that slowdown, people need to move somewhere. People in big cities are like, oh, wait, we can work virtually. I don't want to live in this city in this tiny little house with all my family. I want to move somewhere where I've got a big piece of land and space in Boise. I mean, Boise's blowing up.
Exactly.
Phoenix is still blowing up. I mean, it's absolutely bananas. People are leaving some of these bigger cities.
Yeah. And another thing, you can't do this all the time because a lot of the deals, people need money now. They need help now.
Yep.
Right? You handle those differently.
Sure.
But if you can get it on a 30, 60, 90 day close, you can advertise it like financed buyers are okay.
Yep.
And then what you do, I've had very few that actually end up going conventional by doing that. But what it does is it just opens up your buyer pool competition.
So how do you sell a wholesale deal with a conventional loan?
So it's no different. The buyers just need to add their assignment onto the down payment.
Okay.
So it's no different than like if they were paying for a realtor to represent them.
Yep. So, got it.
Yeah.
So what you do is they have to cover your cost and the bank's fine with it?
The bank's fine with it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they just have to have a bigger down payment to cover it.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
So you go through the appraisals.
Yep.
And the inspections.
Yep.
And all that.
Yep.
So you're selling a conventional, but you're rolling in your assignment fee of an average of $25,000. So these buyers are coming in with an extra $25,000 to buy these properties now?
Well, here's the irony.
Yeah.
Very few of them actually go conventional.
Right.
It causes the people buying with cash or hard money, now they got to up their ante.
Got it. Love it. So most of the deals are still cash.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Well, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, listen, you know, when you look at cash buyers, the hierarchy of cash buyers, your fix and flippers, well, first, your investor wholesalers that you sell to are going to pay the least.
Yeah.
Next is your fix and flips. Next after that is people that are going to buy and hold those properties in their portfolio. And then the next are the people that pay the most are the people that are going to live there.
Yeah.
They pay the most.
Exactly.
I mean, holy cow. It's like through the roof. I mean, they'll pay basically retail for the opportunity in some markets. Yeah. That's incredible. So why are you still working? Why do you still have a job?
I've been
for
asked,
real, for I, real. I mean, $400,000. You've got two fourplexes that you've added to your portfolio. Why are you still working? Why is this part time?
So honestly, Brent, it's just because so I can qualify for conventional loans. So I need a full year of tax returns, and I'm just waiting till the spring. That's the only reason. One of my goals this year was to get 10 more doors of rentals, and I just achieved that last week.
Awesome.
So yeah, once I get a full year of tax returns,
how many doors do you have?
I've got 11.
Oh,
yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah. But this goes right into what you and I were discussing pre-show is just, I definitely, you know, I understand what it feels like with the imposter syndrome. You kind of get this feeling like, whoa, I know I've been working hard, but not this hard, or at least I don't know if I deserve this. Like this is coming way faster than I thought it was going to. I thought I was going to have to work like 5 to 10 years to get this.
Yes.
And how you handle that.
Well, it's not, and it's not, you know, a lot of people are worried about the fear of failure. The tougher part is the fear of success. Yeah. Once you get that success, I remember the first time I got a $42,000 check. I literally was shaking in the kitchen. And listen, I was broke, doing okay. Never $42,000 sitting in my account.
Yep.
Like never.
Yep.
I was like, oh my gosh. And now I have it in my account. I'm shaking. I'm looking at my wife and I'm like, I don't know if I can do this again. Yep. I don't know if that was just luck. I don't know what to expect for myself. I don't know what's going on. And then she's like, knock it off. And then from there, I was like, oh, okay, got it.
Yep.
And then my brain changed. You know, your brain changes and you start getting and you start understanding that you can get big opportunities, that this is the path to financial freedom is finding discounted properties.
Yep.
Because the fact is, typically, a property is the biggest investment somebody's going to make in their life, right? For the average American, it's going to be the biggest investment that they make. There's some, you know, talk if it's an investment or a liability or an asset or whatever, who cares? It's going to be the biggest purchase somebody makes. And some people don't care about the price. Some people just want to get rid of the headache. I was like, wow, I wonder how many people just want to get rid of the headache. It turns out a lot.
Yeah, I know.
6 to 10% of the real estate market wants to get rid of the headache or in distress of some kind. I mean, there's just a conveyor belt of opportunities. So what I would say to you as you're having this imposter syndrome is there's plenty of opportunities.
There is.
There's plenty of opportunities. Keep growing. You're not the first guy that has ever gone to this point and thought that, but just keep building, keep having fun with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Once I filled my pipeline up, it took a solid 6 months.
Yeah.
I mean, to really get consistency and, you know, predictability.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of funny how I first found Corby, that first realtor through Bigger Pockets.
Yeah.
A guy named Brandon Rhodes found me. And I'm sure you get hit up all the time by people that are like, well, what are you doing? And they're interested and they want to pick your brain and all that stuff. But this guy, who's now my full-time acquisitions guy, he was working a manual labor construction job.
Mm-hmm.
He was getting on site at like 4:30 or 5 in the morning, working 12 hours. And then he would go on my appointments for me in the evenings and not ask for anything in return. And I was like, I got to have this guy.
Yeah.
So he works for me full time now.
Awesome.
We work together and it's just, we're constantly pushing each other. And he's essentially tripled my business. So I've done about 16 deals virtually.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're doing anywhere from 4 to 5 a month
mm-hmm.
regularly.
Because he's in Idaho.
Yeah. He's boots on the ground. Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
And he just started. He just knew. He just knew that this was an opportunity.
Now he'd been waiting for an opportunity to kind of quit his job and just join full time. And
no, but what I mean is when he's working 12 hours and then he's going on appointments for free and trying to do something and put stuff together, he must have seen that this was fun. This is an opportunity, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He was right at that jumping off point off the cliff where it's sink or swim. But he's been awesome.
You have two callers.
Yep.
No, you have a caller and a texter.
Correct.
In the Philippines.
Yeah.
Is that through a company or did you find them yourself?
It's one I found myself, one's through VA Rocket Station.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how do you communicate with them?
WhatsApp.
WhatsApp. Obviously.
Yeah.
Okay. WhatsApp. And then how often?
Daily.
Every day?
Every day. They ping me when they start shift, when they end shift, if they have any questions.
What about training them?
To be quite honest, I sent them your YouTube link.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
I know.
It's the best training material available and it's completely free.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the stuff that you do, it's completely bonkers, man. The amount of people that you touch and influence, it's incredible.
Yeah.
Really.
Well, I love it. And it's really, this is a tight community. You know what I mean? There's not a lot of people that want to wholesale real estate. So I love it. So.
Yeah.
It's awesome. So you send them my YouTube channel. They get trained up. They're starting to go. And so one's texting, one's calling.
Yep.
Right? It comes in.
Yep.
Does it go to you or does it go to your guy? What's your guy's name?
Brandon.
Brandon.
It'll go to either of us.
Okay.
It really depends on which one of us is free. If Brandon's on an appointment, then I'll handle it.
Yeah.
But I'll be able to answer questions. Usually it'll just be questions like, hey, this lead said this. What should I say next?
Yep.
Or is this a real lead? Pass it through to... So we use Mojo as a CRM. It's just simple and easy.
So, I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. The point that I was just trying to make with how much you communicate with your VAs is I think a lot of people set it and forget it with VAs.
No.
And it's a nightmare. I mean, it just never works out. You need to develop them. You need to let them know that they matter. You need to know let them know that when they send something in, you're responding quicker. Because once you do that, they're going to be on your team. They're going to work harder. Once they feel like there's some security there, because a lot of them get just shuffled every, you know, month or every 6 weeks or every 2 weeks. Now they got to do something else and they got to work for somebody else and they got to do a different, you know, whole different industry or whatever. When you give them security and some sort of foundation that they can, you know, grow from, now they're, I mean, the seed's planted, they're growing, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So we'll do Zoom calls like once a week too. We'll talk about, hey, I think you did this really well. Hey, in this situation, I would have said this, stuff like that. And that way, and really the encouragement, hey, you like really good job today. This was perfect what you said. It's not just the critiquing. It's not just the constructive criticism, right? It's also the really important to give them the positive feedback too.
Awesome.
It's motivating. Yeah.
Well, it's that time in the podcast where we need to break down a deal.
Let's do it.
All right. Let's get nitty gritty on something. So do you have a deal you want to break down?
I do.
Okay.
Let's do it.
What list? Did it come from a list?
It did.
Okay. What list?
This guy was on non-owner occupied unknown equity.
Okay. Okay, so explain unknown equity for people that have never heard those words put together before.
So unknown equity is a list that does not have either a loan amount or what the tax assessed value is. So it just doesn't spit out a number at all.
Okay.
So with the high equity, you get, here's what their loan is, mm-hmm. here's what the tax assessed value is, and it comes up with an amount of equity, right? And that's right. how you get the high equity list. Unknown equity is there's information missing or data missing or whatever.
Right.
And nobody calls those.
Right.
So.
Well, the issue is most people, when they're pulling their lists, are taught to look for at least 30% equity.
Yeah.
You're saying go unknown. Okay.
Yep.
I get it.
Yep. And we've had.
And unknown, by the way, is just a button you click in ListSource. Is that where you're pulling it?
Yeah.
From
and
ListSource.
PropStream.
Yeah. And PropStream.
Yep.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Yep. So I called the guy, cold called him, and he. Super assertive personality, mm-hmm. super assertive. So I went through the script and I said, you know, did you have a price in mind or what you wanted to get out of it? Mm-hmm. He goes, I want 225. I said, oh, okay, 225. And then waiting for him to talk,
yeah,
because right? silence.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, yeah, you know, I've had this as a rental for quite some time. I just, that's what I want to get out of it. And okay, I completely understand. What's your rough timeline to sell it? I love coming in with that because it'll tell you a lot of
everything.
Information. Yeah.
Everything. Timeline tells you everything.
Yep. Yep. So what's your rough timeline to sell? Oh, I don't have one. I just, as soon as I get that price,
mm-hmm.
I don't have one. Just give me that price and then I'll sell it.
What's your rough timeline to sell? People use this.
Yep.
I love that.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's very non-threatening.
Open-ended.
Yep. Very open-ended. 9 times out of 10, they'll say, I don't know. You contacted me. I don't really want to sell it. Okay. In the trash,
that's
right?
On
to the next, but you can get through them really quickly. So then we'll use some kind of verbiage like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. Besides price, what's your deciding factor?
Mm-hmm.
What's your deciding factor? Is there another open-ended question to get them to talk, right?
Love it.
And this guy, he was just, that's just what I want, whatever. And so I said, okay, well, let me follow up with my business partner. Let me see what we can do for you. $225 was a great price. So I called him back the next day and I said, you know, I talked it over with my partner.
Mm-hmm.
If we could come up to your $225 number, what would be the next step for you?
Love it.
Which I'm pretty sure I got that from Pace.
But, yeah. If but, I could do it. Yeah.
Yep, if I could do it. And
if
said,
then, right.
Yep. And he's like, well, I think we would have a deal. And I said, okay, so if I send you an offer at 225, is there anything keeping you from moving forward? Nope. Signed it. I sent it and he signed it like 15 minutes later.
That's it.
Two conversations with the guy.
But you did something really, really, really smart. You got the advanced agreement.
Yeah.
Is there anything stopping you?
Yep.
Right. You used an if then beautiful. I mean, this is just a symphony of just using the right words in the right, you know, order and sequence to pull it out to see if this is really something. But I bet when he said 225, you were like, ooh.
Yeah, I said,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
Isn't that the best feeling ever? When somebody throws out a number, sometimes in your brain, you're like, oh man, this thing says 400 on Zillow or 370 on Zillow. He's going to say 350 or 360 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then they throw 225 at you and you're like,
I know.
Oh, is this real life? Am I getting pranked here? What's going on?
Yep.
You know,
that doesn't happen very often, honestly. Like 75% of our deals are from follow-up.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
But pre-qualifying like that is so key to get those agreements, because I can't tell you how many times I've sent an offer, especially being virtually, and they just use it to get another offer.
Of course. Yep.
So.
Yep. But you anchored them down. You anchor them down with, first, you hit them with the, what's your rough timeline? Opening it up. He wants it now, right? So now you know, okay, if I throw him an offer, if I say yes, and then soon, either this conversation or the next, then he's going to be able to leverage this.
Yep.
So let's make sure that I'm getting enough from him. And then you ask that if I could come up to 225, then, you know, what would be the next steps?
Yep.
And he says, well, we got a deal. And then you just closed it with, so if I send you the agreement right now, is there anything stopping you from signing?
Yep. Exactly.
Beautiful.
Yep.
Beautiful.
And
beautiful.
This is before we found, you know, before I really knew how he gave me kind of a rough description of the condition.
Sure.
But I didn't know a whole lot.
Yeah.
I didn't know the underlying situation or much about his motivation.
Right.
But it turns out he had that rental property to the same tenants for 40 years.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
40 years, yeah. The same tenants were in there.
Mm-hmm.
And another tip that we like to do, we like to negotiate with the seller to be able to give them, serve the tenants the 30-day notice so that we can wholesale it or keep it or whatever as a vacant property and we don't have to worry about
that. Sure.
So we'll either say, you know, is it okay with you if we get the tenants served? We can actually do it for you. I have it written right here. All it needs is your signature. You don't have to worry about, you know, having that awkward conversation with the tenants because you've had them for so long.
Mm-hmm.
You guys probably have a personal relationship. You don't want to upset them. Let us take that burden off your hands. Let us do that for you.
Yep.
And that's been a thing that we use.
So you actually go out there and talk to the tenants and give them the notice?
Yep. Yep. In the state of Idaho, all you have to do is just give a written, just a piece of paper with a signature that says, you know, you have 30 days to vacate.
Right. And as long as they don't have a lease.
Exactly.
Yeah. 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 You can't just
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. This applies to either
month to month.
Yeah.
Or non-lease.
Yeah, exactly.
Got it.
So,
by the way, before we get too sidetracked, what'd you make on that deal?
$39,500.
Come on, player.
Ah, I love it. I've been waiting so long.
Yes. Victory bell, man. That's exciting.
Yeah.
So you called. So one cold call to a unknown equity, non-owner occupied list.
Yep.
One call, qualified him in a day.
Yep.
Got the contract signed the next day.
Yep.
And made $39,500.
Yeah.
This is real life.
I know. It's crazy, man. When you say one phone call can change your life, it really can.
Yep.
And obviously, it's a culmination of hours and hours of cold calling to find that one person.
Yep.
But when you do,
mm-hmm.
it's a crazy feeling.
Yep.
Definitely.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, give some advice to people starting out in this. Speak to somebody that's never done a deal before. They're just getting into this. They're very excited. What should they do?
Take action.
Yeah.
I mean, even if it's an hour a day over your lunch break, just do it. And do it every day and do it and give it 6 months, give it 9 months.
What action?
Making calls, picking up the phone.
Yeah.
Something proactive.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a situation where I had funds for my, you know, W-2 job to do mailing or, you know, PPC or all that fun stuff, but I didn't want to. I had time to give. I didn't want to spend thousands and thousands to get a deal.
Yep.
So just picking up the phone and calling people. Be okay with imperfection, you know, massive imperfect action. Be okay with not getting a deal for a while. Just keep grinding and it'll come.
Yeah.
And things fall into place. And again, just listening to content and surrounding your mind with positivity, because especially being virtually, it's tough because you're not around anyone else that's really doing what you're doing.
Yeah. You feel like you're on an island.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have that, what feels like people in your corner are surrounded by like-minded individuals. So,
yeah. Awesome. How do people reach out to you? How do they find you? How do they say congrats? Or how do they do business with you? Maybe partner, maybe joint venture, send you deals.
Absolutely.
Maybe you send them deals. How do people reach out to you?
So my Instagram is at Weimer Investments.
Spell it.
W-E-I-M-E-R Investments. That's where I publish most of my stuff for now. So yeah, reach out to me on there. Send me a message. I'd be glad to collaborate or help anybody, because really adding value to people and being a go-giver. It's funny, Brent, because a lot of people, they have this short-sightedness about, well, I don't want to JV a deal with somebody because I'm going to lose half the profit or whatever. And what happens, like with Brandon, when he was going on these appointments for free after working a 12-hour day, is as somebody, you know, further along, you're like, I want to work with somebody like that.
Yeah.
And when you give before you receive, it pays tenfold.
Ten times.
And people don't know that. And you just, I can't stress that enough. Look to add value to others before you do for yourself. And that delayed gratification will shoot you on a completely different trajectory.
100%. It's incredible. Yeah. I mean, it is, when you are out there and you're giving and you're showing that you're willing to do it, really willing to do it consistently, it's just going to set you up with the right people.
Yeah.
It's going to set you up with the right people. And you're going to get the opportunities that other people didn't because they stopped short, because they wanted. Give. And then watch the opportunities come. So Absolutely. Awesome, man.
Yeah, so thank you so much.
On this thing.
Yeah.
Incredible. And if you are interested in joining the most proactive group in real estate investing, it is the TTP family. It is the TTP program. Go to wholesalinginc.com. That's wholesalinginc.com. Check it out. Scroll down. If it feels good in your gut, sign up for a call. I look forward to working with you personally. But incredible. Really, really.
Awesome.
Incredible tips on here today. So everybody, re-listen to this. Some incredible tips for conversion, some incredible tips for mindset and really working how to have a really successful first year in this business. So definitely re-listen to this. And until next time, I'll close out as I always do, encouraging you to talk to people. Till next time. See ya. Love you.
That's all for this episode. Your next step to success is to continue the conversation over at wholesalinginc.com by joining the mailing list, as well as get your chance to book a strategy session to learn the systems and become part of the tribe and work personally with one of our amazing coaches. We'll see you next episode with more ways to make you a fortune in wholesaling.